You see, it is good to be here, and I do want to thank Brother Joe and the church for inviting me to come, and it's always a blessing to be here. I do want to thank you for the accommodations that have been provided for us this weekend, and I'm looking forward to being here with you. This is a very special place to me. This is the place where I came. In fact, it was last week, would be 10 years ago. I walked through them doors, a single man. And actually, I had came that weekend to meet Leanne for the first time. We had been talking on text and phone for since around Thanksgiving, and had never met. I lived in Louisiana; she lived here, and so I came to meet her. And part of that trip was coming to church with her that Sunday. I told some of the guys earlier, I said, I was never more nervous than walking in them doors that Sunday, 10 years ago last week. And can I say something? It's not proper English, but I just want to say this. Ain't God good? I'm telling you, God has been a true blessing to me. I'm so thankful for Him allowing me, bringing me to this church, and thankful for Brother Joe and the members here, and most of all, I'm thankful for my wife. Amen. We've had a journey. July 6, 2013, I stood right here, said, I do. We began our journey as one. And what a journey it's been. Wow. Amen. Everything seems to revolve around that date, July 6, 2013. Because July 13th, 2014, I was called by Riverside Baptist Church in Traum, Kentucky, to come as their pastor. What a way to start a marriage. After pastoring there almost 5 years, I left Traum, Kentucky and moved to Plummerville, Arkansas, July 10th, 2019, yeah, okay. But I could go on and on and on how what a blessing this church has been to me. What a blessing this fellowship has been to me. The pastors in this fellowship, I can remember when I first came and I joined this church here and started going to fellowship meetings, the preachers and the preaching God's Word always filled me and thrilled my soul. And let me tell you what thrills me tonight. It's to look out in this crowd and see these young people in the house of God on a Friday night. There's no better place to be than in the house of God on a Friday night. And I'm thankful to see these young people excited about serving the Lord, and I hope that you will stay excited and continue to serve Him, because you never know what God can do with a faithful servant. I never dreamed that I'd be preaching God's Word. I was called to preach when I came here. And little did I know that a little over a year, I'll be preaching and pastoring one of the Lord's churches. But here I am, and I'm thankful for this opportunity. I enjoy to preach the Word of God. And so tonight, if you will, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. This chapter has been on my mind for some time now, and usually, before I preach at Portland Missionary Baptist Church, I'm always thinking about the message I'm going to preach. But the last couple of sermons that I preached there, this message has been on my mind. I cannot get it off my mind. And it's a special chapter to me. This chapter is my testimony. And we find here a parable, and in this parable, there are four illustrations, and I guarantee you that you can identify with at least one of those illustrations, if not more. And so I'm going to break this passage down. I'm going to look at each one of those illustrations each night. Tonight I'll begin with the first one. But I want to begin tonight by reading this chapter. So if you will, and you found Luke chapter 15, follow along with me now, and I'm going to read this entire chapter.
The Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either with what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. When she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, A certain man had 2 sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father have killed the fatted calf, because he have received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. He said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come bowing before you tonight, Lord, so thankful for this church and what she stands for. Father, I thank you for her pastor, Lord, and ask you to continue to bless him and bless this congregation and these people, Father. They mean so much to me. And Father, I'm so thankful for this opportunity to come tonight and to preach your word. And Father, I just pray your blessings upon this meeting. Father, I thank you for all these that have come out tonight. Father, I pray a special blessing upon each one that is here. Father, I pray that I might say something tonight. Father, it will be an encouragement to them to continue to serve you and do what we're called to do. Father, I just pray your blessings upon those here who are saved. But Father, I pray tonight, most of all, for anyone that might be here tonight that's lost. And Father, I pray that if it be your will, Father, you will save them by your grace this evening. Father, may we feel your presence among us tonight. Father, I do humbly ask, Lord, that you would meet with us, that you would speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that you would use me tonight to be a blessing to your people. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did you notice at the beginning of this chapter we find a large crowd drawing near unto Jesus? I say it's a large crowd because it seems that everywhere Jesus went, there was always a large multitude of people that gathered around him, coming to hear him and hear what he has to say. Here we read in verse number 1 that, and I want you to catch this, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. This is a large group of people gathering to hear the Lord Jesus Christ. But we find that not only are there publicans and sinners that have come to hear Jesus, but there's also another group of people here, and they are murmuring and complaining. If you'll look in verse number 2, you'll see these religious leaders, the Pharisees and scribes, and they're murmuring among themselves and complaining, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." I find that kind of funny. Do you know where Jesus just was? Turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 1. I want you to see where Jesus was. Luke chapter 14, verse 1. Says it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. Oh, he eateth and receiveth sinners. They didn't even know that was true. They're so self-righteous, so wrapped up in themselves. They didn't realize they was talking about their own selves. Jesus just finished eating with the Pharisees. In fact, he's probably leaving their house when this crowd of people have gathered there to hear him. These men murmured and complained. You may wonder, well, why were there publicans and sinners gathered outside this house to hear Jesus? Because they wasn't allowed in the house. The Pharisees thought that they was much better than them. Their traditions, it was contrary to these people and the way they lived their lives. That's why they were always complaining about Jesus eating with publicans and sinners. They looked down upon them as not as good as themselves. I can't look down on anyone, because I'm just as much a sinner as they are. These Pharisees didn't realize that. These scribes. Now I know that many of you here tonight have been raised in church, or many of you are preachers, and you know that publicans were nothing more than tax collectors. They worked for the Roman government collecting taxes from their own people. Taxes that were unfair. Taxes that was a burden. And they just added to that burden because they would always add some more to it to pad their own pockets. They were basically thieves who looked down on publicans and sinners. I'm getting wrapped up on Pharisees. But they were basically thieves, and the Pharisees didn't care for them, neither did the Jews. Everyone despised the publicans. They were outcasts. Then there were sinners. These sinners were basically Jews who didn't keep the Mosaic law. And like the publicans, they were outcasts. They lived their lives as they pleased without any religious restraints. We have a lot of sinners in our world today. No one seemed to care for these publicans and sinners. No one, that is, but the Lord Jesus Christ. So I said, don't look down on publicans and sinners. Don't look down on them, because you have what they need. They need the gospel. And we have it, and we need to share it with them. That's why Jesus reached out to these ones that no one cared for. He gladly received them. He even ate with them. In fact, he had told these religious leaders that this was why he came. In Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32, Jesus, Bible says, and Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Before a person can ever repent of their sins, they have to first realize that they're a sinner. These religious leaders, these Pharisees and scribes, could not see themselves as sinners. But publicans and sinners seemed to be drawn to Jesus. And he spent a lot of time ministering to them. In fact, that's what we find him doing here in this chapter. Now, I like to try not to read too much into this. But I believe there were some other people in that crowd that day besides the Pharisees and scribes, publicans and sinners. And the reason I say that is because the four illustrations that Jesus gives here in this parable. In verses 4 through 7, Jesus speaks about a man who has 100 sheep, but one is lost. I believe that this illustration is a picture of one of his elect who is lost in the world. In verses 8 through 10, Jesus speaks about a woman who has 10 coins, but one is missing. And she diligently looks for that one coin until she finds it. I believe that's a great illustration of one of God's elect who is lost in His house. The house of God. Talking about someone who's religious but yet lost. Much like them Pharisees and scribes. And those religious Jews who look down on publicans and sinners. But then, in verse number 11, Jesus mentions a man who had two sons. And I might be stretching here, but I don't believe I am. I believe that these two sons are a picture of the children of God. You see, they're a child of the Father. They're in the family. And Jesus talks about the younger son who we know as the prodigal son. This younger son is a great picture of the backslidden Christian who has returned back to living just like they were before they were saved by the grace of God. They returned back to the world from which the Lord had rescued them. Then in verses 25 through 32, we have the elder brother. The elder brother looks good. He seems to be a great person. But did you realize he couldn't even, did you notice that he couldn't even go into the house and celebrate the fact that his brother have returned home safely? I say to you, I believe that he is a picture of a Christian who is backslidden in the house of God. You can be faithful to the house of God, come to church every Sunday and be just as backslidden in your heart as the child of God who's wandering around in love, back in the world, backslidden. That's why I believe that in this crowd of people, there were publicans and sinners. There was religious leaders and religious people like the scribes and Pharisees. But I also believe there were some people in that crowd who at one time have followed the Lord Jesus, but for some reason or another, they went back to the world. They didn't follow Him anymore. Who was that fourth group of people in the crowd? That was the third. Who was the fourth? I'm quite sure that Jesus had His disciples with Him. And I think it's very likely that one or more of those disciples were kind of like the scribes and the Pharisees. They thought that they were more valuable to the Lord than publicans and sinners. They followed Him. They was there with Him in all these miracles that He performed. Maybe they were like that older brother and they couldn't rejoice when sinners were saved. I'm not sure. I might be reading too much into that, but that's what I see here as I study this chapter. Jesus would often use parables to teach a spiritual truth, and here He's teaching each and every one of these people who had gathered to hear Him speak the value of one sinner that repenteth. And so tonight I want to look at the first of these four illustrations that Jesus uses here. And I want to preach on that lost sheep. In verse 4, I want you to see the compassion that we find here in this verse. Jesus says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" We see compassion here for a lost sheep. That word lost there is the same Greek word that is translated perish over in John chapter 3, verse 16. It means to be lost, ruined, or destroyed. In other words, this lost sheep is in danger. He needs to be found soon, because he is headed for ruin and likely to be destroyed if he's not found. Sheep aren't strong animals. They're not fast either. The truth is, sheep are pretty dumb. They're unable to defend themselves. They're unable to take care of themselves, provide for themselves. They're constantly needing someone to look after them and to provide for them. As I said earlier, this sheep that is lost is in great danger. If he's not found, he will likely die. It can't defend itself if an enemy would attack. It can't find its own food and water. It can't even outrun its enemies. There's a great possibility that a wolf might come and kill this sheep. It's also a danger that it could fall in a ditch or another moving body of water and its wool becomes so wet and heavy that it drowns. Could happen to just walk off a cliff and be killed. And if it doesn't die in one of those ways, that sheep will just wander around until it starves to death and dies. The man who owned the sheep knew that. He's concerned and he's moved to do something about this lost sheep. I told you in the illustration and in the introduction that I believe this is an illustration of the one of God's elect who's still lost in the world. I also believe that this man that Jesus speaks of here is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to try to show you from the Word of God why I believe that. In this verse, Jesus speaks about a man who has 100 sheep, but one is lost. He's moved with compassion for this lost sheep, and so he leaves those 99 and goes after that one lost sheep until he finds it. He wants to find that sheep so he can place it back in the sheepfold with the others. And that's exactly what Jesus, our good shepherd, does. He rescues his lost sheep and places them in his sheepfold where they're protected and cared for. In John chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus says, "And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Jesus seeks after his lost sheep. He's moved with compassion for his lost sheep. We also see here in verse 4, compassion for a loved sheep. This man loves this sheep so much, this one sheep, that he will leave his 99 other ones to go find that one. That one sheep is just as valuable to him as all of the others. It's precious to him. If you're one of God's lost sheep, you need to know that you're loved of God. He loves you. How do I know that? Because he tells us in his word. In John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But not only did he say it, he proved it. He proved it on the cross of Calvary. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, tells us, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." There is no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. If you ever doubt the love of God, just look no further than Calvary. There on that old rugged cross, he proved just how much his sheep mean to him. Here in verse 4, we find compassion for a lone sheep. It's just one sheep. What's one sheep out of 100? Another person might have thought about it and said, "It just isn't worth it. I got 99. What's that one? Let him go." Think about the danger that lost sheep was in. And realize that when that man left to go look for that one lost sheep, he also was placing himself in danger. There was also a possibility that an animal could attack him and kill him. There was a possibility he could fall off a cliff or something happened to him. That's how much that one lost sheep meant to that man. He was willing to do whatever it took to find that one lost sheep, because that sheep was valuable to him. To him, that one lost sheep was just as valuable as those 99 that he already had. He didn't care what happened to him. He didn't care what it cost him. He was determined that he was going to go and find that one lost sheep because it was valuable and precious. He knew the cost, but he knew what he had to do. And he went and sought that one lost sheep. I'm sure glad that my Savior came looking for me. You see, that sheep can't find its way back home. The Bible tells us there is none good, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. The lost sinner will not seek after God. God has to go seek after him. And here we see him doing just that. He's seeking after that one lost sheep because it's precious and valuable to him. We look at verse 5, we see commitment. When he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. This was a sacrificial commitment. So I told you earlier, this man put himself in the same danger that sheep was. There was a possibility that man could die looking for his sheep, but to him it didn't matter. It was worth the danger. That's where this man and Jesus differs. You see, there was a possibility this man might die. But for Jesus, it was an absolute certainty. That is why he came, is to die. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm here to tell you tonight that the price that Jesus paid extends far beyond Calvary. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, we read, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus was obedient to the will of the Father. And child of God, you must be obedient to the will of the Father too. Even if it means death. We are commanded to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We don't know who the elect are. We're just to go and share the gospel with everyone. We won't save anyone. It's not our duty to save them. It's God's. We just need to be faithful and obedient, doing what he has given us to do. And that is sharing the gospel. Notice this here, there's also successful commitment. This man didn't quit looking for that lost sheep until he found it. The same is true of our Savior. He will not quit looking for his lost sheep until he finds every last one of them. That's why he came. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And he didn't stop until he cried with his last breath from the cross of Calvary, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Not one single drop of his precious blood that poured out while he was hanging from that old rugged cross was wasted. Every person that he came to save will be saved. It might not look like he's winning in our world today. You may think that he's failing. But I can guarantee you, Jesus will not be disappointed by the harvest that he reaps from this world. He perfectly fulfilled his mission, and all those lost sheep who he saved by his blood will be in heaven with him one day. Jesus couldn't make this any clearer than what he does in John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40, where he says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he had given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Look now at verses 6 and 7. Here we have the conquest. "And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." This conquest involved rescue. This sheep was lost, but now it's been found. It has been rescued from the danger in which it had found itself. That word "saved" means rescue from all harm and danger. And that's exactly what our good shepherd does for all of his sheep. He delivers us from the dangers of our sins. All of God's sheep are delivered from the penalty and power of sin the moment that they're saved by the grace of God. But ultimately, this is the good part. One day, we're going to be delivered from the presence of sin. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 7, the Bible tells us, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." Amen. This conquest involved rescue. It also involved rest. See, that sheep wasn't responsible for getting itself home. You know what the man did when he found that lost sheep? He picked it up, placed it on his shoulder, and he carried it all the way home. That sheep found itself resting upon the strong shoulders of its master. Thank God we're not responsible for getting ourselves home. See, we're saved by His grace, and it's His grace that sees us all the way home. We're kept by the power of God, and we can rest upon His precious promises for our salvation. This man lifted this sheep, placed it upon his shoulders, and carried it all the way home. We don't know how far that was. We don't know how long he had to travel. But nowhere did you see him placing that sheep down. The sheep was loved. It was precious. It was valuable. You know, we're human. Our strength fails. We get weak. We get tired. But our Lord's strength never wavers. Our arrival in heaven has never and will never depend upon you or I. It depends all upon the Lord. Amen. This conquest involved rejoicing. Ain't that great? This man found his sheep. First thing he does when he gets home with it is he calls his friends and his neighbors and wants them to come and celebrate the fact that his lost sheep had been found. He was overjoyed because he had found his lost sheep. Jesus makes it clear to these Pharisees and scribes, as well as to his disciples and those publicans and sinners, that there is just as much joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth over 99 and just persons that need no repentance. Where are you tonight in your relationship with the shepherd? Are you lost in the wilderness of sin? Do you need to be rescued? I pray that the Lord will rescue you from the dangers of this world and sin. Maybe you're here tonight. You're not walking as close to the Lord as you should. Let me urge you, get by his side quickly. Before you found yourself like that prodigal son in a far country. See, I was that lost sheep. But I became like that elder brother. When you start backsliding, you're going to start in the house of God. You're going to be in a far country in your heart way before you find yourself in a far country in that world. And so I know that I found myself far away from God in my heart because I ended up in that far country. I wasted my life with riotous living. Praise God. My Savior restored me when I came back. And I can tell you right now, if you will come back, He'll restore everything that you wasted. Christian, let me talk to you tonight. Did you notice that that man left those 99 sheep? He went after that one lost sheep. There was ever a time for God's people to get their eyes off the 99 and get them on that one lost sheep. It's this day and age in which we live. I want to leave you with the words of Jesus in John chapter 4, verses 35 and 36. Before I read them verses, I want you to get this picture in your mind. In John chapter 4, Jesus met a Samaritan woman by the well. And he revealed himself to her. Revealed to her that he was the Christ, the promised Messiah. She left that well and she went back up that mountain to the city because the well was in the valley. She told all the men of the city, come, see this man. Is he not the Christ? And about this time, as she was leaving, the Lord's disciples returned. And they was trying to get Jesus to eat, and he wouldn't do it. He told them he had meat that they didn't know anything about. And I'm just paraphrasing. Then he says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then come the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. And he was looking up towards all them men coming down that mountain. When he says, for they are white, already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Be obedient to the Father. Preach the gospel. Share the gospel. Not every one of us here is called to preach, but every one of us here is called to witness. And if you're not witnessing, you need to get busy doing it. Brother Joe, if you'll come.